Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want us to look in Matthew chapter 17. And you'll also find this account in Mark chapter 9. But we'll just look at one of those. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 17. And verse 1, it says this: After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. So here it is, Jesus, three of his disciples. And there before them, he was transfigured. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they dropped like flies or fell to the ground. And that's what she meant earlier. They couldn't stand. The Lord's presence is so strong. And maybe you've been in a place like that. And like Julie mentioned this morning, you know, she was in the back and the Lord's presence was so strong on people that they couldn't stand. You see this in a variety of places throughout Scripture. The glory filled the temple, that people couldn't perform their duties. You see people fall. You know, and the presence of the Lord is so strong that just, you know, whether it's weak need or whatever it is, there's this involuntary action that they fall. And it doesn't mean you're holy. It doesn't mean you're more spiritual than others. It's just a physical response to God's presence and power. And it's what happens. It's something that happens like when you feel God's presence sometimes and sense his presence. You may be just somebody who tears up and weeps. It's just another physical expression of the nearness of God that happens to us, that happens involuntarily. And so this experience that they have with Jesus, here's the disciples, they have this incredible experience. Now, they have been with Jesus for a while. They have watched him speak words of life. They've watched him do miracles. They've watched him cast out demons. They've walked with him through the countrysides and from village to village. They've been in and out of boats with him. They've had all of these wonderful experiences with Jesus. And then they go to this experience and he transfigures. You know, his physical appearance began to change, and Moses and Elijah come and talk with him, and here are these three disciples who have this amazing experience. I mean, you know, I think that would have been neat to be there, don't you, Sam?
Amen.
I mean, to be walking with Jesus and have him transfigure and then get to see Moses and Elijah come and talk with him, who we've only heard about and have never seen. And Jesus knew them because he was before them, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the living Word. And so here's this wonderful experience that they have. And I want us to pause and think about that. We could point to a lot of people who had experiences with Jesus. You look in the Gospels, I mean, people are having an experience with Jesus all the time. But what about us? What about you and I? Can we point back to experiences of his presence? Some experience that we had with him. That's why I had these people share this morning. Because it's like Jesus transfigures still. We know him as Savior when we come to him by faith, and we confess our sins and we ask him to come into our heart and life and be real to us, and we, you know, begin to follow him because he's forgiven us and we know we have a taste of his grace and mercy. It's like Jesus transfigures not only from the Savior, but now we see him as, you know, like Trudy mentioned maybe this morning, where we get to experience Jesus as, you know, somebody who heals the inside of us, the soul. He gets near and he's like a counselor and a comforter. and somebody who brings life to us again. Maybe the experience is like Shirley's, where we just cry out and we're by ourselves and something happens. We know it. We feel it. Somebody shakes the foot. And all of a sudden, this healing comes to us. That only God can do things like that. Experiences that we have outside of church. In church, somebody comes and walks in and they're here and they just somehow they feel God. They sense God. It's an experience that they have. It's going somewhere and seeing people, you know, experience God, or they come to church with reluctance and sit in the back and begin to hear and see things that they've never heard or seen before, and they weren't aware that maybe it's in Scripture, and they disappear for 6 months. We always think that right away when we share the gospel with somebody, they got to come to Jesus right now. Oh, that's wonderful, and it happens. But if they walk away, listen, it's not over. It's not over. You and I have to leave room for the Holy Spirit of God to do something. To visit people in a room that they're by themselves. Or to go through personal struggles and God continues to show His faithfulness. And all of these experiences that we have with God. I want to tell you something in this room. I want you to be able to look back. And I know that, we're not supposed to look back. We're not fit for service in His kingdom. I'm talking about the kind of looking back that the Scripture teaches, that we look back on God's faithfulness, that we remember who He is and what He's like. And I want to encourage you in this room to have experiences with God. We read the Scripture and we pray, and maybe you go through your daily devotional book, and all of that is good and all of that is right. Well, He's in those pages and He's in those words. But His Word is living and active and wants to have an experience and an impact today in our life. A supernatural experience with Him. Jesus is about the relationship. Yes, you heard the Word of God at Desperation, Sam. But then you got to experience the Jesus of the Word at the altar times, and the one who can turn things around and give you such a passion for life and people that you can preach to your own family from the back seat. And that you have a burden for your friends, and so many of you have that. These experiences with God. I remember experiences in my time. My life with God. Guess what? If we chalk it up as, well, that's a teenager at camp, then you know what? I just want to stay a teenager. If you're chalking up experiences with God as, well, that's for the young. Now that we're older and wiser and we, you know, no more experiences. You look at people in the Scripture, they were not all young. And they certainly weren't righteous. But when God showed up and did something, they had an experience with Him. They heard something, saw something, something happened in their heart. I've heard the stories of people coming into this church or other places, and they come in and they sit and they don't tell anybody this, but somewhere along the line they talk with, you know, a friend or the pastor and say, you know, when I was there, I felt God come and do something in my heart and do something right there, you know, when you were preaching or during worship or, you know, some of you know what I'm talking about. It's an experience that you have with God. Well, here are these disciples. They have this experience with Jesus. He transfigures, just like now He transfigures as the healer, not only the Savior, not only the Lord, but the Counselor and the Comforter and the Faithful One. And He transfigures to the Baptizer, and it's all who He is. He's all of this. It's interesting that the disciples say, this is good for us. Now, you know, when God moves and we have an experience with Him, you know, when we get excited and we believe in the experience and we were impacted by the experience, it's okay. We do some redemptive thinking that sometimes is not really God's will. But it's really nice thoughts. Kind of like, it was good for us to be here, Jesus. We'll build a shelter for all three of you so you can stay here. And that wasn't God's plan at all. Sometimes we have experiences with God and we'd like to stay where we are. I remember preaching and traveling and doing youth camps and conventions and retreats and services and crusades and all those different things in the past in the ministry. And I remember coming to a point and telling them on closing days of a great week and experiences with God, I'd share with them a little bit of this story and said, guess what? I know you want to stay here with, you know, your favorite worship band and worship team, and you had great experiences with God while they played and why they sang or why someone spoke and preached or someone prayed for you. But guess what? It's time to re-enter real life. You can't build shelters. It's not God's plan to build a shelter and just stay there in the experience. Oh, I don't want it to go away. I know last time I experienced something with God, and then 2 weeks later I was, you know, all down and depressed. It didn't last. We act like it didn't last. Understand that every experience with God also launches us into re-entry into real life. Jesus didn't stay on the mountaintop with Moses and Elijah. He didn't have them build shelters. He said, okay, we're done up here. Now we're going back down the mountain into the villages and into the towns. And we are going to remember the experience, and it is going to impact us. But we have to have a transformation. See, this is the Mount of Transfiguration for Jesus. But for the disciples, it was supposed to be a Mount of Transformation. You look back in Exodus chapter 3, you'll find the account of Moses going to God's mountain, Mount Horeb. And he brings the flock, and he's a shepherd now, remember? And he sees the glow, and he sees the bush that burns with a flame, and yet the bush is not consumed. It's not burned up. It's this mountaintop experience. And that mountain experience, much like the Mount of Transfiguration, is a mountain of transformation for Moses. He sees the bush. He gets closer to the bush. It's kind of like sitting in the back of a service and God's doing stuff in people's lives at the front, like Julie mentioned. And her friends say, well, she's saying, well, what's going on over there? And her friends will say, go up there and see. Moses didn't have any friends to go tell him. He just saw it and he went to see it. I want to see why this thing doesn't burn up. I want to see why these people are falling down. I want to see why they're speaking in tongues. I want to see why they're healed. I want to see why, and they get close. Whether it's curiosity, it doesn't matter what the motive is. Whether it's curiosity or you have genuine, you know, you're inquiring, it doesn't matter. I want to encourage you and myself to continue to have these experiences with God. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too rotten. You certainly were not too good. We have to have these experiences with God. That this God who is supernatural, he transcends that which is natural in it because he does miracles. He's not confined by nature, that which he created. He is supernatural. He can supersede it all. Encourage the experiences to have with him. Our Christian life cannot just be based upon we read the scripture and I believe the right things. It's a having relationship with the one who's caused us to believe. Revealing who he is. A great experience of the burning bush, the Mount of Transformation for Moses, is that he experienced God and he heard his voice. And yeah, he took off his sandals and he had conversation and God began to reveal who he is. He was the great I am. For Julie, it was the baptizer. For Trudy, it was the comforter and the counselor. For Shirley, it was the healer. For this international friend, it was God is love. For Joan, still, it's God is showing himself faithful. These experiences with God, don't build shelters. Build off of it. And let it transform our life. Moses had a great experience with God, but because of that experience, it sent his life in a whole new direction. Our experiences with God aren't supposed to be, oh, it was a great experience. Oh, it was really high. I needed the shot in the arm. And then we walk out the same way that we came in before the experience. We have to re-enter life after the experience to stay excited. But our direction has to take, you know, a turn from where we were to where he's leading us because of these experiences with God. We all want to be there to see Jesus meet all the needs. It's like he transfigures and we see him as Savior and we see him as baptizer and we see him as this and we see him as faithful. We see him as, you know, the one who heals. We see him the one as wisdom. And he is all of those things. But they are supposed to not just be a mount of transfiguration. He does the transfiguring. He shows all that he is, all the different facets. For you and I, it's supposed to be the mount of transformation. That because of those experiences with him, we change. We change. We still change. After we meet him from salvation and we continue to walk with him and pursue him, let's not fall back on, I already know him. I've been around for a while. Yeah, I've seen God do a lot of things. As if he's not going to do any more. Supposed to transform us, redirect our lives. I don't want to suggest to you that God is not doing things in people's lives who've been around for a while, because he still is. There are those who've in this room who have walked with God for a long time. And they are still walking fresh, and God is still doing things in their life, and they're still pursuing the experience with the God of the Word. But I find it interesting. And please don't take this wrong, but I find it interesting that those who testify this morning of these things, it's not that they're necessarily newer believers. Some are. But maybe they're newer to the church. And they're thirsty and they're hungry and they're looking. And they're not building shelters, trying to stay in the experience, but re-entering life and saying, please, still invite. Still reach somebody. Still let God do something. Not building the shelter on the mount where, oh, that's where God was faithful and I just keep going back there every week. It stings a little. We have to still get curious and hungry and inquire to know God. That he could still transfigure before us and show him new facets of who he is and what he's like. It isn't just about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and now we speak in tongues as initial physical evidence that we've been baptized in the Spirit. It's not about speaking in tongues. It's about being baptized in the Spirit and a whole new venue of Spirit life that transpires and transforms us. It's the ongoing and the ongrowing that we do. Not just building a shelter and saying, well, this is it. This is the pinnacle. Or, hey, I bottled it. It's about going from a burning bush and facing people who are in slavery, who are bound, who God wants to free, and being transformed enough through our experience to be the agent who faces impossibility that God can show up and transfigure and show himself as a deliverer to a lot of people. And how he can be the God who can transfigure and show how to be a shepherd and lead people through a wilderness. How God can transfigure and show himself to be a promise keeper that he can keep people and lead people to a promise that he gave to them in a promised land. How he can show himself and transfigure as a mighty warrior as he sends his people who in their natural ability could not overcome the people in the places where God promised, and God shows himself as a warrior and conquers those who stand in the way to bring those he promised into a promised land. That he will fight on their behalf. He will fight on your behalf. He will fight on your behalf. As you follow him, as you pursue him, as you have experiences with him, and allow those experiences not to just be experiences and events, but experiences and events that begin to change the course and the direction of our life. It's wonderful to remember those things, but don't build shelters and keep running back there as if that is it, or that's all there is. We have to continue to pursue. Some of you in this room, you heard these testimonies this morning, and you say, oh man, I would love to have that experience. Oh, I would love to, you know, have something like that. Or, oh, you identify with it. Or many of you in this room sat there and said, I remember, that was me. I remember God showing up and healing me. I remember God showing up and baptizing me. I remember going through the hard time and God counseled me. And now you're here to talk about it. Well, I want you to know God's not done. And he still wants to show himself and transfigure before you and I and show all the facets of who he is. But you and I need to get curious again. When God is working, we need to get close. When we see the bush burn, so to speak, we need to go and inquire. When we see God beginning to do something, it's not a time to stand off and back off or say, oh, I already know that, or, oh, you know, what's that, or, well, you know, that's a little uncomfortable for me. Yeah, that's how we want to show up to heaven. Yeah, I know you were probably trying to do some great things, but I was really uncomfortable with that. And, you know, you're a gracious God, and you want me to be comfortable, so, you know, let me in. Yeah, let me know how that speech goes. It's time for us to pursue him. It's time for us to want to know the God of the Word. To know who he is and what he wants to do and what he's like. Not try to draw some conclusions just by reading the Word and listen to a bunch of your different favorite preachers. Those things are good and they have their place. But the bottom line is we need to experience the God of the Word.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.